Way to go, everybody. Well, please be seated. Welcome to Hope Chapel once again. I'm going to invite you to get a hold of your Bible. You know I've got my paperback Bible, right? No, it's actually my imitation leather, but I love this Bible. And I also love this Bible. I love the Word of God. And I want to encourage you, if you happen to not bring your Bible, we might have one for you to use. So just raise your hand and we're going to see. We've been handing these Bibles out pretty consistently, so we've got some on back order with your names on them. I'm sure it's like, please, that would be great. Well, what an excellent, excellent day here at Hope Chapel, and just by reason of a reminder about the Project Nourish, we are gathering those loose change because we're anticipating all of it coming in today. We want to forward it to Foursquare Missions International, Foursquare Disaster Relief, because we are anticipating really piggybacking on a number of other Foursquare churches to feed 15,000 children in East Africa. And so even our missions committee is going to double down on whatever we all give. And so we're hoping to at least make 2,000. Want to highlight, too, we'll be giving you some updates, because there are some really, I think, some big heavy hitting going on with how to help our fellow Californians who have suffered severely with the fires. Can't help but being thankful without recognizing that we have not suffered like some currently have been suffering. And let me just highlight one last thing about true Thanksgiving. You've heard it from me, and it's just a reminder. True Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah, I'm thankful. But it always requires two things in each of us. One is humility, and the other is a good memory. Everybody say humility. Memory. Humility. Memory. You who are watching via live stream, humility. Memory. Humility, because it requires you to recall somebody has really helped you. I mean, that's humbling to say, you know, maybe I didn't do it all myself. Maybe somebody beyond my ability has really taken good care of me. That's humility. And that's a good place to be. I work pretty hard. I will clean toilets if it means maintaining a humble heart before the Lord. Memory, because you have to recall what the Lord's done. They say, hey, let's get a short and sweet testimony going on. It's like, oh man, let me think. So a good memory. And maybe we just need to take more vitamin B. How about it, huh? Vitamin B? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Just take your multivitamins. How's that? But I've got my Bible in hand, and if you have a bulletin, I trust that you have a bulletin. I want you to make sure, let's take a look at the back of that bulletin. Let's get a writing instrument going on, because we're highlighting our outline so that you can take it to life groups, which, by the way, is our last week before holiday break. So grateful for our life group leaders. And thank you for telling me what that community of smallness has really helped in your growth in time together. So, Lord, even as we open your word, thank you for opening our heart, because we want to live a life that's balanced in both grace and faith. So, Lord, remove all distractions, clear our minds, don't let us think about what we'll do after service, Lord, because what we're going to receive from you, like a good meal right now, we'll really service everything else we'll do moving forward. Let it be to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I'm going to Ephesians chapter 2. Today's message is entitled, Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. Living in the balance of grace and faith. It's interesting how we've been enjoying some times together, not only in our mini-series of learning to listen for God's voice, but also learning to listen for God's will. And last time I was with you, we were just discussing about tapping into a miracle. What does it mean to tap into a miracle? And part of what we're going to be seeing right now, I believe, will assist you in great ways. Not only because a number of my conversations have been pretty much common questions like this. What do I need to do, Pastor Paul, to receive the blessings you're talking about? And what do I need to do, because it seems like my prayers are not being answered. Man, I'm praying, and I'm going to church more consistently. I'm really reading my Bible now, and I'm even being more generous than I've ever been before, but it just seems like my prayers are not being answered. And right in that statement is the conclusion of why that individual may have such a hard time, because they're anticipating God's favorable response upon their doing something to merit a favorable response from God. I'm going to pray and I'm going to believe God's going to do something because I've really been a good boy this week kind of thing. So it's a salvation by works. So when we take a look here, it's important because God has done his part for everything you need. 2,000 years ago. Now we have a cross here. That's a symbol. That is not the location where Jesus died. If you were with us in Israel a couple months ago, we saw some great locations, historical values. But it's still going to require some faith right now at what we read about in the scriptures. And that's why I love the Word of God. Because the Word of God reminds us that we are people in covenant with God. And it started 2,000 years ago on that cross. So when we start to look at the aspect of God's grace, living in that balanced life, everybody should have a balanced life of God's grace and faith. The beautiful thing about God's grace is that you can't earn it and you can't do anything to lose it, but it's going to be your faith to secure it. It's going to be your faith to secure it. When we've been working through, we looked at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Habakkuk was in a sorrowful state of mind, and God says, check it out, Habakkuk. See that vision? It's for another day, but write it down because those who read it can run with it. And then he says, Habakkuk 2, 4, the just shall live by faith. What does that mean? You want to live? You're going to be faith. The just shall live by faith. The Apostle Paul gets anointed of the Holy Spirit, and he writes it out in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. And he says, hey, by the way, the just shall live by faith. You're going to have a beautiful balance, God's grace, what he's done on the cross. How does that happen to us? You bring it into focus with your faith, believing. Galatians 3:11, the same thing. The just shall live by faith. So when we take a look at balancing today, we're going to look at it in such excellent ways. You're going to say, man, I think I can describe that to others. Because grace and faith go together. It must go together. It's kind of like sodium and chloride. You ingest any one of those, they're poison by themselves. You harm yourself, but you put those two together and it's salt, and you can't live without salt. You've got to have God's grace with your faith to say, I believe what God has done 2,000 years ago. Now let's take a look here. Point number one, see it on your notes. It's on the PowerPoint. Grace is God's part. Grace is God's part. The word grace means unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. When we take a look at the things of being people of the covenant, it happened 2,000 years ago. God has given great favor for every person on this planet, but not everybody's tapping into it because it takes faith. But let's start with just grace. Grace is God's part. What did he do? Man, how about Jesus? I like favor, don't you? Matter of fact, let's just, that looks like an F word with cursive, cursive right there. How about that right on my heart? We'll be people with signs. How's it look like? A little bit of gangsta in us, right? Favor. We got favor. You flowing in the favor? God's grace. God's grace. So important when we take a look. Good news is the grace has nothing to do with you. We start to highlight and benefit the beauty of what this cross and the resurrection. What? Well, that's why I'm hoping you'll say, I want to get into this book. Because I don't know some things. That's a nice, humbling way to begin your journey of tapping into God's grace. So when we look here, let's look at point number two. Faith is man's part. Can you see that on our PowerPoint? Say it in your notes. Faith is man's part. Faith is defined as being a positive response to what God has already provided by grace, by His grace. Has God done something for you? Do you know what He's done for you? Because you'll respond in faith, which says, literally, I believe that. I believe what God has done. I believe He suffered and died for my sins and resurrected on the third day for me. So let's look at a verse here, because I've asked you to look at Ephesians chapter 2. It's also on the PowerPoint, just in case, because it's an important element. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 8 and verse 9. New King James, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9 says, and not of works, lest any one should boast. Two words are listed here. Sometimes we can read these common passages and we miss what it's actually saying. But look at the two words, for by grace you've been saved. You didn't do a thing to be saved. It was God's favor for you to send Jesus 2,000 years ago. When were you saved? 2,000 years ago. And then look at the next word. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That's man's part. That's man's part. God says, I've got grace for the whole world. Man, I want everybody into heaven. That mean everybody's going to get saved? They got to receive it by faith. Faith. So you put favor with faith. That's the balance. If you just have grace without responding in favor in faith, you will not be saved. And you will have a life of challenge. But if you only have faith without grace in what God has done, then you're just going to go from a kind of a work element and just be filled with condemnation because I'm not good enough. I didn't accomplish much. So you need both, the balance of grace and faith. Grace, God's part. Faith, that's your part. That's your part. So when we look here, it's so important. Grace and faith working together, and they must be kept in balance. So when we look here for a moment, salvation is not dependent upon grace alone. God wants everybody saved. Does that mean everybody's going to be saved? Check it out with me, and let me just put it on the PowerPoint, but be prepared. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Can you see that? There it is, says so clearly, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to what? All men. God's grace. Everybody should be saved. Is everybody going to be saved? Not unless it's mingled with faith. When we're going to take a look at just entrance level for you and me, all of you and me coming into salvation by saying, I believe that. God's favor has come upon me. How about the other things in your life? We'll get to that in a minute. There's other things God knew you would need, and it all came through an event 2,000 years ago, and I love being a person of the covenant. See, if you don't know what is yours and what God has for you, how do you put your faith into something you're not aware of? So when we look here, the grace of God, Titus 2:11 says, that brings salvation, God's favor to everybody, everybody. How come everybody's not in? It's got to mingle with faith. You got to tell that friend of yours, man, do you believe this? That Jesus did something for you 2,000 years ago? When you look, it's so important. Let's deal with, if you can, find 1 John. Let's go close to the book of Revelation. You'll find 1 John. It's the epistle, not the gospel. This is not on PowerPoint. I always like us to kind of mingle getting into the Word. So find your Bible online. Go for it. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, then Jude, then Book of Revelation. So you can see that's very close to the end of the Bible. So 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 2. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Jesus took the place for everybody's sin, everybody's sin. And not just for you who He knew would believe and receive salvation. Everybody. Jesus is the propitiation. He took the place for everybody on this planet. And not just for you who believe, but everybody. That's an important area. We talk about the grace mingled with faith. So when we look here, I like the fact, even in verse 9, now go to chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Check it out with me. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that cool? Why does He so willingly forgive, even if I confess, which is often my falling out? Because Jesus died for every sin on this planet. Past sins of yours, present sins that you might venture into today, and your future sins. Jesus died, was the propitiation for every sin. So it is not just about sin that's going to keep people back from heaven. They must believe in Jesus. Must believe in Jesus. So I just want to encourage you with verse 9. Man, if you just are dealing with sin issues, first of all, just settle the area. Are you born again or not? Because we all struggle with elements of weakness and sin, so it's important. Confess the condition. Confess, Lord, I did it again. I'm sorry. He's so faithful. Just in case, say, that voice that comes of the adversary says, man, you've done that three times this week. You think God's going to forgive you again? Bible says, we confess, He's faithful. I like faithful people. Don't you like faithful people? Man, you can always depend on them. God is faithful to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Why? 2,000 years ago, He died for that sin. You mingle that favor with your faith. You don't think He's going to forgive you? You got to have faith in the favor or the grace of God. So important. So most of us believe that in order to be saved, we must receive and believe by faith. It's interesting because God is not a respecter of persons. And that's what Romans chapter 2, verse 11 says. No respecter of persons. Why is that important? Well, it's not going to be a person who is an adulterer, a lying person, a thief, a murderer that's going to be in hell. Person that's going to be in hell is somebody that does not, by faith, receive Jesus as their Savior. That's important for us to recognize. That's going to be the condition. When we take a look at mingling both grace and faith working together, look at point number 3. It says just that, grace and faith working together. God has already done His part. It's now up to you to receive the truth by faith and make it a reality in your life. Let's kind of tap a little bit more into that. It's interesting to note because in John 16, verse 8 and 9, it's on the PowerPoint, just look it out for a moment here. In John 16, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit's work here on this earth, and He's working, the Holy Spirit's working. You know that. God's the Father sent the Son this Christmas, Messiah, God with us, suffered and died on the cross. It is finished. He ascended. He says, but I'm going to send another one just like me. Not me, another one just like me, the Holy Spirit. And He's in operation. Probably brought you to Hope Chapel. Said, hey, turn on services at Hope Chapel today. So when you look here at John 16, verse 8, part of that is the Holy Spirit says, and when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, not multiple, just one sin, of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me. The Holy Spirit, main course, is to help an individual realize they need Jesus as their Savior. That's the sole responsibility of the Holy Spirit. Grace and faith mingled together. For you've been saved by grace through your faith. God's responsibility is, I've got a favorable life for you. It is awesome. How do you respond favorably? With faith, saying, I believe that. I believe that. So when we look here, the Holy Spirit is to bring a person to realize you need Jesus. You need a Savior. So oftentimes, when people say, well, isn't the Holy Spirit supposed to convict us of all our sins? Well, that's where your conscience comes in. If you have a conscience that kind of blow past doing wrong, man, that's a dark day. And may the Lord help us. Help us. Matter of fact, if you haven't even kind of repented in a while, I always like people to say, man, I just feel crushed. I've just kind of continued to weep over my failings with God. I said, man, that's good. That means you're hearing from God. I like that, don't you? The scary one that never repents in a long time since 1968. It's like, whoa, they haven't been hearing from the Lord for a while. So when we look here, it's important. I like how that in Romans 3, and you may want to write that down, chapter 3, verse 19 through 22, how that the Scripture says that apart from the law, no one's going to be made righteous, but salvation and righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's important. Let's take a look now. Because you came in, I'm trusting, I'm talking to people that know what it is to mingle grace, God's part, with faith, your part. How about your everyday needs? Because God's provided not only salvation, but everything in your life. And he knew the day Jesus would come to this planet that you would be needing healing, that you would be needing some provision, that you would be needing health in areas of your life. So as we look here for a moment, let's pick just one that we want to see in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I put it on the PowerPoint. We'll look at that from there, but go ahead and write that down. It says so clearly, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. What tree was that? The cross. That we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Take a look at the second to the last word. You were healed. That's past tense. So you take a look and you say, man, I need healing. Lord, I hope you'll heal me. Well, the healing for you came 2,000 years ago. That's grace. That's grace. I'm going to take care of your body. Your body's so important to me, God says. One day I'm even going to resurrect it from the grave. Everybody's going to be resurrected. Be changed. But it'll be you. He's interested in taking care of your body. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. So not only did he bear your sins while on the tree, that's why we have communion. Jew symbolizing, I'm going to receive forgiveness of sins. The bread symbolizing his body so I can have faith for healing. So healing comes. How about every spiritual blessing? Let's take a look. Ephesians chapter 3, or excuse me, chapter 1, verse 3. I have that on the PowerPoint as well. For you who are at home and at workstation, write that down. It's a great verse because it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So isn't it interesting to note, if you're going to say, well, what has God done for me lately? And you see a promise like that in the covenant, because you're a covenant people. The covenant enters in when there's death of somebody, because now that living trust comes into action. God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. That's favor. That's grace. And how does that become yours? By positive response, saying, I believe that, Lord. I believe that. I believe you have something for me. When did that take place? The great grace of God, Calvary's cross. Great miracle power of God to resurrect Jesus from the grave. How come I'm not experiencing that, some would ask me. I've been so good to read my Bible, and I'm consistent with church. Will you just see it in the Word and respond to it in faith? The balanced life of grace and faith. God anticipated every need you could ever have had, and he meets it with Jesus through grace. So he saved people. He caused them to be healed and delivered and prospered every single person. Taking a look at the covenant in God's Word, it's amazing what God has. It becomes a reality when mixed with your faith. Grace and faith. So faith does not move God, so please don't mistake in what I'm saying. Faith does not make him do anything. It's not like it's going to give him a kickstart. God's already done everything on the cross. It's already been done. It's already been done. It's already been written. You just have to kind of make it yours by saying, I believe that. I believe that. So you can see, if you haven't been a person, a student of the Word, if you don't spend time in this Word, these are love notes to you from God, his favor for your life. Say, wow, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So that's important for us to balance that out. Faith appropriates what God has already provided. So it's when we recognize that, there's a great teaching that just one day we'll enjoy that once again, but the believer's authority. There are those that will come along and say, well, you know, if God's in control, just kind of like wait for him to do something. We'll just wait for him to do something because he's in control. Lord, we're talking to you now, and you know that. We're waiting on you. Well, you have authority. Bible says these things are yours. It's important for you to recognize that. So if we were to take a look, for example, and some might say, well, you know, why is there so much suffering? We all know that there is an imperfect place called earth. There'll come a time to be a new heaven and a new earth. So it's a broken kind of society, but it's amazing how God still gets blamed for a lot. If he's in charge, why are these bad things happening? If that were the case, and every civilized nation on the face of the earth would come along and say, well, man, we're going to hold you responsible for just assaults on humanity, God. But there are something called evil forces. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. It's important for us to recognize, in case you don't realize, that there are dark elements that really want to just wipe you clean from having any faith in God. Remember, the just shall live by faith. And faith comes by hearing the Word. You have none of these things that God has for you. Let's spend time in the Word and say, man, I'm going to believe what the Word of God says. Here's some examples. In Hebrews 2:14, you may want to write that down, how Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. Says, inasmuch then as children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Let me add another one. 1 John 3:8. We were just there. 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Isn't it interesting? The same Bible that talks about God and angels brings in this creepy person. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 says, man, he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. So let's just remember, there are areas of darkness. Since God's grace is for every human being, he wants people to come to him. Sometimes those are not regenerated Works of darkness will harm you through people. So when we realize, and important, in John 10:10, says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. So I just want to bring that balance in case, why is God letting this happen? Where can I claim areas of victory, Lord? How are we going to get there? Grace and faith. God, what have you said we can experience and have? So when we realize and recognize God has really provided some things, we have to be careful, because even Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says that in the latter days, people are going to call evil good and good evil, and sometimes could actually, God wanting to do things, say, well, that's evil. Be careful, watch out. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says that we are to resist the devil. That word resist means a very active fight. It's against works of darkness. So let's just realize God has provided some things for us, and it's so significant. I want to highlight the importance of James chapter 1. Let's go to James chapter 1 just for a moment. In James chapter 1, verse 2. Let's check out James chapter 1, verse 2. We don't respond in faith to what God has already provided by his grace, we won't receive it. He's already done the work. God has provided salvation. He's provided healing. He's provided financial provisions. Everything God has provided, it's received by faith. We look at James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That's what Christians call trouble. It's a trial. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces something, and here's a list of it, produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Perfect, complete means more mature, some translations, lacking nothing. And everybody says, lacking no good thing God wants to give you. So sometimes those trials line you up for the better reception of what God has for you. But if you're not sure why you're going through a trial, check it out with me. It goes on, and if any of you lacks wisdom, verse 5, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's more of a commendation of the nature and character of God, who gives liberally and without reproach. You can come to God. But just remember, he's a very liberal giver. He gives liberally. He's never stingy. Wouldn't it be nice to think of everybody that way? They're just generous and without reproach. You will never get chastised for coming to God, who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This day, we take a look at a balance between grace, God's part, favor. He highly favors you, everyone. But our favorable response is faith. Do I believe what I just read? And if you go through a trial and you're uncertain, ask God, Lord, what's going on here? What's happening? Why is that? And it says seek wisdom, which means that word of wisdom about what you can expect for the future. It's an amazing thing to speak and spend time with the Lord and receive that kind of, Lord, I'm really anticipating. If you don't think you're going to hear anything from God, you won't be spending time with him. But let's just recognize this. You are highly favored by God. God's grace, whenever you see that symbol 2,000 years ago, so much is provided for you. I'm trusting you've all tapped into it. But if not, check the covenant and receive it by faith. Say, Lord, that's mine. I believe that. His part, he gave his son. Your part, thanking him this great Thanksgiving for the amazing way which God has provided so many things for us. Well, remember the balance of grace and faith, like sodium and chloride, individually, they're poison. Together, man, you can't live without it. Want to just thank the Lord for what he's doing for us right now. And if you're feeling that you may be lacking or that you could be anticipating a breakthrough somehow, get a hold of the scripture. Anticipate something from the Word of God. You say, well, Pastor Paul, how does that work? What does that look like? Get with somebody that speaks the Word with you. Get with somebody that knows the Word, says, you know what, I don't know where that's found, but let's search together. There's plenty of topical studies out there. There's great word studies in the back of your Bible. What are you facing? Fear? Dread? How about provision? So you take a look and say, let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That sounds pretty favorable, doesn't it? And you secure it by faith. You say, just in case I get a little bit weak-kneed and anticipate God not coming through, I'm going to look at that verse again. That's mine. When? 2,000 years ago. My God shall supply all your needs. Every need here. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's when it took place. Let me pray for you right now. Father, I want to thank you. I thank you for these dear ones who are here and listening. And that, Lord, it's amazing how the just shall live by faith. And that, Lord, you'll bring life to each and every one of us. That, Lord, your life, not just an existence. We want abundant life. We want life that matters. We want life that engages just the beauty, not only reality, of your existence as well with us. And so, Lord, wherever there's been death that has been spoken over dear ones, wherever there's been doubt that has been on display, wherever there's been assaults aimed against us, wherever the enemy's trying to say, you can't trust the word, don't pick it up, no need for that, there's nothing in there for you, those lies be gone in the name of Jesus. We want to thank you for the favor. We humble ourselves, Lord, because your word says God gives grace to the humble, but the proud, there's nothing in it for them. So, Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you. Matter of fact, if you're here and listening to that prayer, would you stand to your feet? Let's just declare our need for him while we close our Bibles. Let's sing the song together. I'm going to be back and I'll pray with you. What a good day. What a good God. What a wonderful Savior he's been.
Darling, elder. want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.